I heard a person that's very involved in deliverance ministry, and he said deliverance is a truth encounter. Very true. Yeah, the spirit of truth destroying that deception that we've believed for so long. The truth encounter. And today, welcome to truth encounter. Amen. Jesus, you're the way, the truth, and the life. And what a joy to know the power of your blood that even now just I loose it over all of us, setting our minds free from being blinded by Satan in one way or the other. Thank you for the power of your blood has redeemed us. And to begin to really experience, Holy Spirit, you sharing with us the very deep thoughts of our Heavenly Father, so that we may know the mind of Christ. So Lord Jesus, we want to receive the revelation, the breakthrough in all of our lives, and not only for us, but for our town, our families, for our nation, so that we as a nation will begin to have a revelation of what is written for South Africa in the heavenly realms and the library book that you have written. So I want to thank you, Jesus, for how you are awakening the body of Christ in our nation to arise, to understand kingdom, to understand the advancement of your kingdom, what it's all about. We want to thank you, Jesus, that many, many, many are hearing your call to arise, to come up higher, to begin to walk in your victory and your authority. We want to thank you, Lord Jesus, how you are equipping and helping and showing and giving us a better understanding of your ways versus our ways. Your way of the Holy Spirit versus our way that worked maybe yesterday, but that was for yesterday. We've got to keep on walking with you. So we thank you as you're enabling us to understand the depth of faith. You're enabling us to understand the realm that you live in and we live in, and yet we're on this earth. So we want to thank you as you give us truth to enable us to experience the breakthroughs, to experience the victory, to experience how alive is your word, how living it is and active and powerful it is as we go on. So today we celebrate, Jesus, your incredible ministry. We celebrate, Holy Spirit, you are the Spirit of Truth, your involvement. We accept your ministry, we receive it and say thank you. And I just say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here to do whatever you have received from Jesus, who has received from the Father, to bring it about. And we receive that. We want to thank you, Father, as you begin to show us and open up our understanding of the angelic realm that is so connected to our destinies in you. And so we welcome the angelic realm that is with you, Holy Spirit, to minister and to serve and to really just do what needs to be done for us to be able to experience the breakthroughs so that we can be part of your kingdom in a way that we've never dreamed or imagined before, according to your great power that is at work within us. And this, Father, we ask in the name of Jesus, so that that you will be glorified in your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Good. Oh. We've been looking at Ephesians 5. And again, it's us really learning how to live as children of light and not having just the knowledge, but living in the reality of being a child of light. A lot of things happen when we walk in the reality of being a child of light. And that's where the warfare really starts to take place. So we need to learn to be able to know how to live as children of light. We learn from Jesus because he is light, and how did he live? We need to learn to find out what pleases, as children of light, what pleases our Heavenly Father, and to live in the reality of that which pleases him. And there's a lot that is just in those scriptures that we've been reading. We started to look at goodness, righteousness, and truth. And last week we started to speak about the reality of our God-given destiny, and to really begin to get to that place where we are surrendering our destiny that we have been in control with, and we're coming and say, Lord, I surrender. That which is what you have planned, your will be done in my life. And that's often a very place of conflict and uncertainty and fear, because we don't realize just how much the world has got its hooks in us. And when we are stepping and we realize that we are children of light, we are in the kingdom of God, we don't realize that when we're doing that, if we don't know how to appropriate the fact that we are a new creation in Christ, we will live for a very long time battling with those hooks of the world system in us that control us, and that has another destiny for our lives. It's not the same destiny as what is written in the heavenly realm for you and I. Okay, you look at the fruit of our careers and you can see life or death and then you know the destiny. And so it's a frightening thing to sometimes for folk to be able to realize this. Wow, we're in a place where there's a choice, there's a crossroads, and I'm making a decision to be able to choose the way of Jesus. So we've been looking at that over the past maybe 2 weeks or so. Now, one of the things that we have to really begin to take serious note of is that there is a person, a spirit being, that is anti our God-given destiny, and that is Satan. If we don't realize that Satan will do whatever he can to deceive, to fool, to trick, to take our lives, to prevent us from walking in God-given destiny, we're playing games. We've got to realize that when we are in the kingdom of God is all about the king ruling and reigning. And there's another dark kingdom, the kingdom of Satan, that opposes that. And that is why, as I shared 2 Sundays and last Sunday, it is so important, if you're wanting to know your reason for existence and the purpose, and my own, this is how it helps me. There's many different definitions of reason and purpose, but for me, my reason is, why have I been born? My purpose is to living out that reason. So for me, purpose is the application of my reason. Okay, so I'm living out my purpose. I'm fulfilling and living out my reason. So that for me is purpose. That's just my own definition that helps me. I don't know, there's many definitions. So we realized right from the very beginning, when God created man, Adam and Eve, and this was the mandate for all mankind that would be the offspring of Adam and Eve, God said very clearly, this is your mandate to rule, to govern, to multiply. So we know our God-given mandate. That's why if we're trying to find our reason for existence and our purpose for existence outside of that mandate, we open up to all kinds of deception. And we will then begin to find our reason and purpose in and from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and no longer from the tree of life. So now to find my identity, I've got to go to the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, so that I can now find my identity, to find who I am in that tree and that fruit. And the fruit of that is death. No matter how we camouflage this stuff. So if I'm trying to find my identity and my reason for existence in religion, the fruit of that is death. If I'm trying to find my identity and my reason and purpose in position or in status or in the people that I hang around with, in the media that I listen to, in my education, in all of these things over there, if I'm trying to find my reason for existence in that, that's all from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So now we can look at history, just a very easy example. My nation will say, this is good for our nation. Another nation, and we look at another nation, and we say, that's evil. That nation will look and say, for them, this is good for us as a nation, that's evil, let's have a war. See, the death is always a result of us trying to find our existence, us trying to find what is good, what is right, us trying to find what is so-called truth in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It'll always be death. Okay, so since then, we see from that moment onwards, it's very clear that Satan has captured the minds of the unbeliever. And so from that moment onwards, we see throughout the history, throughout the ages, all the time, we see how there's a plan that God has for nations, for families. There's a plan that God has for individuals. All of these incredible plans that God has. So when he says to Jeremiah, the plans I know for you, the plans I have for you are good plans. He's speaking to a nation. See, that's powerful. God doesn't lie. All of that, all the time. And we see from that very moment when Adam and Eve fell, now we start to realize there's something about our destiny that Satan does not want us to have an understanding, to have a revelation by the Holy Spirit. And he will keep us deceived by the fruit of the knowledge of good and evil. And that's very, very real. So for instance, when Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, Satan also says that, I am the way, the truth, and the life. I was listening to a young adult. He was hungry for power. He was hungry for have world influence. He wanted to climb and have world wealth. And so the witch doctors and all that there was a drawing him into a pathway to go into the Illuminati, because the Illuminati, the enlightenment of truth, where Satan says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And his incredible journey into the Illuminati and the contracts he had to sign, the blood that had to be shed, the sacrifices that had to be shed, just all the time, that fruit is death, that fruit is death, that fruit is death. And all the time as he's going and he's on his incredible journey, just to show you how dark Satan is in the deception, because these evil spirits will say, if you do this, you're going to then have more authority and more wealth. And so they would now do whatever that demon would say. But guess what? It's all a lie. It's a deception. Now you've got to do this. Now you've got to do this. The one time him and his friends, they're now in a certain country where now they're having to go to the temple for the Illuminati temple. And so they are in the, with the witch doctor over there, and he says to them, in order to go higher, you need to have a human sacrifice. And he says, you've got to drink this potion. So they drink this potion, and one of their friends over there gets sick. And then that witch doctor says, come with me. And not long after that, there comes the body parts. So the human sacrifice was them, one of their friends. Blood has to be shed all the time in order to get truth, illumination, enlightenment, in order to know your destiny, in order to know purpose. This is the battle that you and I are facing for our children, for our marriages, for our families, for our town, for our nation. And so that is why it's no child play when we're speaking about destiny. Because you have somebody and a legion of demons that is there to steal, rob, and destroy. I've listened to so many young adults and elderly folk that one way or the other, they went to the Shongoma, they went to fortune teller, they went the horoscope route, they went all of this to try and find future and et cetera, et cetera. And with that, a demon now possesses him. And every time they are delivered, that demon that's manifesting, they would all say the same thing. We entered to destroy their destiny. Every single one. Every single one. The purpose of the demon that comes with the bloodline of iniquity, the purpose of the demonic that's involved with witchcraft, that's involved with gambling, that's involved with addiction, that's involved with sex without out of marriage, that's involved with all these things, has as one purpose to enter to destroy your God-given destiny. And I think we can all testify how we were living before the grace of God and before the Holy Spirit of truth came and showed us how we were deceived and we saw truth for the first time. The grace of God. And so we're in a battle of destiny. We're in the battle of knowing, God, this is what you have spoken to Adam and Eve. Now you're wanting us to rule and to reign and to multiply. And how Satan took that destiny because he deceived Eve with his truth. Because the devil wants to say, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. And we see how they were deceived, and from that moment onwards. But that's not the good news. We've got good news. And that's why God wants us to begin to receive the good news of God's incredible love story in His Son, through His Son, for you and I to be able to live out the good news. That news, that story that God has written for you and I. And that's the journey for us. And that's why the power of the blood is so, so important for you and I to understand. Now, one of the great things about if you go back to the Genesis 3 story, the moment Adam and Eve fell, what took place? You know they hid, but then the Lord appeared and the Lord spoke destiny to them again. The Lord spoke about a coming Redeemer, coming Savior that was going to crush the head of Satan. And what happened? God took them out, and what did He do? He put angels to guard the way, and an angel and a flaming sword at the gateway to prevent them from going back in to eat from that tree of life in that condition of all eternity in sin and deception and brokenness. So straight away God had spoken destiny about the coming Messiah. Now there's an angel there to watch over that destiny spoken by the Lord. So that angel is there to make sure that what God had spoken starts to become a reality and will be fulfilled. So we start to see the angelic realm involved in God's spoken word over humanity, over our lives, over our nation. And so we have the most incredible involvement of the angelic realm that helps us. So I want us to go to Hebrews chapter 1 as a starting point this morning. And you might want to ask permission to take a video of angels so that everybody can see and believe of the angelic realm as God opens it up. In Hebrews chapter 1, and let me just go to verse 14 first, and then we're going to go back to verse 1, where the writer is saying, "Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation?" Powerful truth, eh? Are not all angels, these are God's angels, ministering spirits, that's their function, sent is a very powerful word, to serve is a very powerful word, those who will inherit salvation. And we inherit salvation, we get a born again, we have salvation, we have the Holy Spirit as a deposit guaranteeing that, but there's still the greater manifestation of the fullness of that salvation that you and I experience, because we still need the new redeemed body. Okay, and there's that fullness that comes later on, although it's a done deal, we still experience it in our journey. So in verse 1, the writer is saying, yeah, in the past God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways, but in the last days he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. That's going to play a big role in our understanding of this. After he had provided purification for sins, the atonement, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son, today I have become your father"? Or again, "I will be his father and he will be my son"? And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." And speaking of the angels, he was to make his angels wings, his servants flames of fire. It describes the function of the angels. But what about the Son? He says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever, and righteousness will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, O Lord, you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will then roll them up like a robe. Like a garment they will be changed, but you remain the same, and your years will never end." Then to which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation. Now in chapter 2, verse 1 and 2, we must pay more careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard. God has spoken through His Son. We must pay careful attention for what we have heard so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels, this is now the law that came through Moses, the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? And this is our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, what the writer is doing over here is, first of all, he's bringing in where the Hebrew people are. Because we see there, for instance, in Acts chapter 7 verse 38, Acts chapter 7 verse 35, Galatians chapter 3 verse 19, that when God gave Moses the law, the angels were involved in bringing that law to Moses. So these Jewish people, the Hebrew nation, for them the angels had an extremely high status in their belief, because they were the ones that enabled Moses to receive the Ten Commandments. So high value. And so the law was everything. The law was the way, the truth, and the life for them. Now, the writer says, no, in the past God spoke in various ways, but in these last days He has already spoken in His Son and through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen to Him. So now the Hebrew writer is busy showing the guys, that's the reality. That's what the law, the angels were involved with that then. So you've got a high regard for the law, but now there's a new covenant, and in this new covenant now, Christ speaks. He's far superior than the angels. Listen to Him. And so He's bringing the fact of Jesus Christ, the superiority of Jesus Christ, the status of the Son of God, so that once again now, these Hebrew believers will begin to not be so caught up in the way and the truth of the life of the law that leads to death, because if the law could bring life, it would have done that. But the law brings a reality of a consciousness of sin. Okay? So there was no life over there. It was always faith in God. That was it there. So now the writer is speaking Jesus Christ. He is the one that you listen to. He is superior. Okay, so he's beginning to address that area. And then he says, now, these angels are sent by the King of Kings. These angels are sent by the one who's superior. His angels are sent by the one who sits on the throne and rules with the scepter in His right hand. He has no end. His angels listen, and they now begin to do His bidding. They serve Jesus. Not only do they serve Jesus, but they serve all of us inheriting salvation. So all of a sudden we see that from Jesus there is an angelic realm that is now sent by Him to serve you and I, so that we can walk and discover and to live as children of light in our God-given destiny. You and I need the angelic involvement to help us, because their function in warfare is huge. Their function in enabling us to be connected, to be in the place where they need to be placed. You guys won't believe. Last night I'm praying. And I'm praying, and that's why this morning is so important for you guys. Because as I'm praying last night, I asked God that the angels assigned to bring the folk in that need to hear about destiny and purpose, and they need to be here today. So the angelic realm helped you and ministered to you to be here. Because you're going to find your God-given purpose. You're going to find your destiny. You're going to find the reason why you live and connect to a kingdom mandate, and to live out manifesting the glory of God through your lives. So it's such an important moment for you guys being over here. See, that's the role of the angels. Because when one prays the will of God, the angels are involved to bring. Because I know that all around this community, there's a hedge, a demonic hedge, there's a fence all around to prevent people from coming into the kingdom. But it's full of holes. And the angels know how to take you through the holes to be the place where you need to be. That's why you're here. He loves you guys. You see? He loves you guys. You've got a destiny, you've got a call on your lives. Okay, so that's why the battle is so intense. Now, in all of this, we see over here that angels are sent by God. Let's go to Matthew, or you know Matthew 18 verse 10. A very well-known scripture that is often used when children are dedicated. Matthew 18 verse 10. Where Jesus is speaking about the little children. And he says there, "See that you do not look down on one of these little ones. For I tell you that the angels in heaven, always see the face of my Father in heaven." Powerful truth. And that is why when God started to speak to us about faith, to simply believe what the Word of God has spoken, to be fully persuaded that all of humanity born, there are angels assigned to that person that has their face turned towards God the Father. Why face to face? So that they can hear the Father's command and be involved in the Father's bidding over that person's life. All of us. We were listening to one of the ladies that joined that in the prayer time, and she was sharing about her child that had a lot of nightmares. Young, I think three, four years age kind of thing, having nightmares. And the child will come and, you know, upset, crying and that over there. And so the mother just, "Father, this, why don't you put your angels in that room over there?" You know, didn't really believe, but just, you know, desperate kind of thing, I think. And child goes, and I don't know if it was the next night or soon after that, the little boy comes running over there. Ma, there's an angel in my room. And the mother was saying, no, you're just imagining, you know. I prayed, but I don't believe. Yeah. And so the child sleeps next to the mother that night with maybe this child is dreaming kind of thing. And no, next morning I'll ask. And then she began to ask, and it was a genuine reality of an angel protecting the child. And that was the end of all the nightmares in that. Now, nowhere here in scripture that we've read do we read over here, "For I tell you that the angel in heaven always," does not say the angel in heaven for the next 2 days will be facing the Father and then he's going to find somebody else. No, always. Do you and I believe today that God's angels are here ministering to us? Do we really believe? And that's what God is doing. He's helping us to be fully persuaded so that we can receive the ministry of the angels in our lives, in finding our destiny, in opening doors, closing doors, in enabling whatever is needed for you and I to walk in what God has written for our lives. Do you and I ever come to the place where we go to Psalm 139 and we read over there that all the days written for our lives have been written in the books in heaven, and we come and we say, "Lord, that which you have written, I receive the angels assigned for my destiny that is written in that book, and I welcome those angels to come, and I thank you for those angels." Are we fully persuaded? We live our years not really aware of the angelic realm around us helping us. And now God is helping us to be conscious so that we realize, because we're going deeper into the manifestation of His kingdom and glory. And that deeper into the glory of God, the greater manifestation of the glory of God, that is mind-blowing when we start to get insight there. It's too big to speak about it right now, but it's huge what it actually means. It's not the same as advancing the kingdom, the greater manifestation of the kingdom. The glory is a different realm of that. God will that's probably the next thing that God will want us to start speaking about in these areas there. So the angels are sent to serve you and I. Now it's also interesting up here when you go back to that Hebrews chapter 1:11, and we read, are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve? Now again, that sent to serve is not a once-off thing. Sent to serve over here is that it's a constant reality. The angels face to face hear what the Father is saying for you and I in our lives, and as we pray in the name of Jesus, as the Holy Spirit gives us truth and we decree those truths, we speak those truths, we apply those truths, now those angels are sent to be able to be involved in bringing about the fulfillment of those truths. So it's a continuous reality. It's not a once-off encounter. All the time these angels are involved in ministering to you and I. So it's a permanent, in the Greek, it's a permanent habitual character of the action of being sent. In Psalm 103, there's many, many examples of that, but just to, in Psalm 103, because David, God gives Abraham a promise. God speaks into Abraham's life. It's not long after that when the angels appear to Abraham and start to speak to him about a child that will be born next year. We know one is Jesus, these two other angels there with Jesus, speaking destiny, releasing destiny to Abraham. Isaac, same thing. Angel appears because his wife is barren. God had given a promise, destiny, by from Abraham and Isaac. And Isaac's wife's barren. But God has spoken. Who comes and gives a message from God to encourage, to release the miracle, to release the faith into Isaac's life? An angel appears and shares with him the wife's going to be falling pregnant. Jacob, in a conflict, he starts to wrestle with an angel about destiny. An angel wrestling with him. We see the reality of Moses, the destiny of Israel. We see how that takes place over there. Here the angel of the Lord, Passover, involves in the judgment of God over the Egyptians, the firstborn. They are released. And an angel of God is leading them, leading them, leading them into their destiny. They come to the Red Sea. And here we see there's this Red Sea. Impossible, impossible. Something's blocking our destiny. Something's blocking our destiny to the promise. Something's in the way. This big Red Sea. The enemy's pursuing us. The enemy's pursuing us because the enemy wants to rob and steal and destroy our destiny that God had spoken to Adam and Eve, to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. Are you getting it? There's a warfare over our destinies. But Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail. See, we need to believe that. We need to stand. We need to know the authority of Jesus. We need to know Him, be in Him in dealing with these things about the destiny for our children, our families, our marriages, for our communities, for our nation. Don't think that the planned so-called things on Monday is just a good idea. That's a demonic inspired idea for blood to be shed for the offering. So you've got to understand how this works. When a person wants to be a president, there has to be sacrifices. There has to be blood. We can either flee or we can stand and begin in the name of Jesus. We have a destiny for 1947. We have a destiny for South Africa. Whoa! Stop! I speak the name of Jesus. Or we could hide. We can fear. Or we can stand in the authority of Jesus for what He has spoken for our nation, for our town, for our families. See, it's up to us. We are the body. I heard something, and I think it was Tim Sheets. And I thought, I quite enjoy this interpretation of Pentecost. He said over there that he's speaking about angels involved, and he says Pentecost, the day of Pentecost, was the day when the Father anointed Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And that oil that was poured onto Jesus' head was the oil that flowed down Pentecost and baptized the body of Christ. And I think I quite agree with that interpretation. Jesus' coronation day in the heavenly realms. And so the outpouring of the Holy Spirit with all the angelic flames of fire coming down on us as a body to rule and to reign, advancing the kingdom of God. Powerful. And so Moses is leading, they're facing the destiny, crying out to God, but God had spoken. What takes place? If you read in Exodus, I think it's 14 or 16, the angel that was leading them in the front goes to the back of the Israelites and stands guard. And then the miracle of the sea opening. An angel of God standing guard so that the people of God that's got a call upon their lives can walk into their God-given destiny. Guys, we need the angelic help to stand guard when the enemy is trying to steal and rob our destinies. We cannot be passive with our children anymore. We cannot be passive in our marriages. We cannot be passive for our community. We cannot be passive for our nation. As the Holy Spirit gives you understanding of destiny for families, for your lives, you know the war is on. And we need the angelic realm to help us, to serve us, to minister to us. We can go through the Old Testament, the wars that took place over there. Remember, I think it was in Isaiah there where there's about 188,000 Caesareans wanting to come against the king. And the prophet said, almost go and sleep. And next morning, 188,000 enemies of Israel slain their dead by the mighty army of angels of God that was sent. Israel can walk in their destiny because a Savior was promised to Adam and Eve. And all the time there were people throughout the generations that believed that promise because of their faith in God. The angels are involved in helping Israel. Despite their disobedience, there were those there that simply believed, and the angels were involved in their God-given destiny. And we can go through New Testament. It's no different where we see time for Christ to be born. The angel appears to Mary, to Zechariah about John the Baptist. An angel appears to warn Joseph about how the enemy wants to kill all the babies, wants to kill Jesus, to flee, go to Egypt. An angel involved. We see there the church is praying for Peter. God has got a destiny for Peter. He's in jail. The angel's involved in setting Peter free. We see Paul's having a shipwreck in Acts 27. He's there. The ship's about to sink and he's on his way to Rome. The angel appears to him that night and says, you've been destined to go to Rome. No problem. angel involved in bringing about his God-given destiny. We see over there the time for the Gentiles to be born again, to hear the gospel. An angel appears to Cornelius and says to Cornelius, send people to go to Peter's place. An angel's involved in connecting God-given destiny to bring people to where they could hear, and messengers of God to the place where the gospel can be heard. All the time, angels are involved in ministering to people inheriting salvation. So guys, we have an amazing army involved in our lives. So as parents, we must start believing that there's an angel that has a face towards our Father. And our prayers are being answered. Our prayers are heard. For our town, for our nation. And so Paul writes at the end of the day, if God is for us, who can be against us? Eh? Simply believe. But today we want to just get and just say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for the angelic realm. There's so much more. This history has shown more, so many times, the angelic reality. First World War, the Second World War, and the wars, the testimonies of angels are tremendous. The involvement, how enemies were defeated and stopped for no apparent reason, and all these things taking place. Yeah. It's good. Are you ready to receive your God-given destiny and the angelic help to help it? Yeah. Let's pray it together. Father, as we sit together this morning in the reality of your council room, as you counsel us, as you share with us, Father, those scrolls on that table there in front of you, Father, the witnesses of those that have passed on and those that have lived and all around to testify to your mighty involvement in their lives by the involvement of the angelic beings that you sent to minister. And we want to thank you that you are cheering us on this morning. We want to thank you, Father, that you are helping us to be able to know that there's far more with us than those that are against us. We want to thank you, Father, for the reality that our angels, connected to your will for our lives, just that fact to know that we've got this divine supernatural help from your throne room, from your council room, Jesus, from your throne, to help us to advance your kingdom. And we thank you for that privilege. So this morning, as we have communion, Jesus, Lord, any other scroll that we have received that is not what you and the Father and Holy Spirit have written, now we lay it down, and I just release your fire to consume those scrolls, to burn them up. The contracts that have been signed, the agreements that have been signed according to their scrolls and the life to their scrolls, that we break in the name of Jesus as your fire just burns it and sets them free. Any violation to covenants that have been made in the marriage, that fire of yours now, Lord Jesus. We loose your fire to consume and to destroy and bring about spirit of repentance. Spirit of repentance to be released. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for that mighty work of yours. Father, any area, and we will go through this, but any area where we know, as your Holy Spirit is sharing with us now, where we've opened up a door, whether it is through gambling, whether it is through some form of addiction, whether it is through adultery, whether it is through going to horoscopes, fortune tellers, witch doctors, shogomas, whatever it may be, that you have exposing within us. We acknowledge we have sinned. We have sinned against you in these areas of our life. And we want to receive and ask your forgiveness. And we receive, Jesus, the power of your blood that has redeemed us from all of that stuff. And thank you that your blood cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So as we drink together, as we eat together, Lord, I want to thank you for the power of your blood working and setting us all free. We thank you for that. Lord, we choose what you have written. And we come to you and say, yes, Father. Yes, 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 yes. We receive what you have written for our lives. And Jesus, we know, and we know that for us to live out that, we know we have to be in you. We have to be in you. So we appropriate as we drink and eat together that my old who I was crucified with you, Jesus. Oh, I'm not going to fight anymore. That's been crucified. All my arguments crucified. My reasoning crucified. My justification crucified. Buried in you, in your death. And Lord, today I choose and I receive the fact that I've been raised with you, that we can serve our Father together. So we appropriate this today as we receive that which you have written, because we live it out in the reality of being raised with you, free of the old Adamic nature, as a new creation in you. The old has gone, the new has come. So we take hold of that fact that the old scrolls are gone, the new we have received, and we will live as children of light. So thank you, Holy Spirit, for your help here. And this we receive through Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer. Amen. Amen.